a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
The House Commerce and Energy Committee will now come to order. I'd like to remind those here to make sure any and all of your electronic devices are either set to silent or turned off, so we don't have any interruptions through our committee meeting this morning. I'd like to welcome our listeners on the internet, and welcome to those that are here in the audience. At this particular time, I would ask the secretary to call the roll.
Representatives Kamek.
Here.
Cronin. Greenfield. Kirschman.
Here.
Miller. Nelson.
Here.
Parsley.
Here.
Peterson. Rounds.
Here.
Stalzer.
Here.
Westra.
Here.
Consett.
Here.
And Solem.
Here.
We have a quorum.
We have a quorum. And since we have had one previous meeting, we do have minutes for our meeting, even though it was an introductory meeting. And as such, I would ask approval of the minutes. The motion by Representative Rounds, seconded by Representative Parsley. All in favor of approval, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are approved. Oh, please, we have our pages here today. Please come up and introduce yourself. It's always on, yes.
My name is Taylan Albright, and I'm from DeSmet.
Awesome. Welcome. Welcome. And through the process, as a reminder, our pages are here to help distribute information. So I know we have a department here going to give us a little briefing of who they are and why they're here and why we're here and help educate all of us as to the functions of that department. These are some folks, by the way, that we're going to be seeing a good amount of through this whole legislative process. So hopefully we're here to learn. I would encourage our new members to ask questions and take some notes, and we'll have that opportunity to address those here as we go through the process. Any other business before we start our presentation? Anyone? Seeing none. This morning, we have Secretary Roberts from Department of Labor and Regulation, and she did someone turn the lights off when you left the office? Because it looks like you brought everyone.
Actually not.
Welcome, Secretary, and thank you for this opportunity to hear what your department is all about.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Pam Roberts. I'm the Secretary of the South Dakota Department of Labor and Regulation, and I do have the members of my executive team here, plus some additional folks that will be working on bills with you folks. We have over 400 people statewide, so this is and most of their bosses are in the room right now. So I wanted to just start out by handing out some contact information. And if you have any need to contact any of the folks on these pages, be sure and let me know. I also have them here to introduce so you can put a face with the name that's on this sheet. But basically, the Department of Labor and Regulation does workforce services, and then we also do regulatory services. And our mission, as stated right here on the handout that I gave you, but I thought I would quickly read over it, our mission is to promote economic opportunity and financial security for individuals and businesses through quality, responsive, and expert services, fair and equitable employment solutions, and safe and sound business practices. And I think as I quickly go through and introduce executive team and explain what they do, you'll see where each one of them fits into that mission statement. On the sheet, you can see that we have a lot of online services. We have not only our home webpage, we also have Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Pinterest accounts. So you can follow us any way that you would like electronically, too. But first of all, starting with our executive team, I'd like to introduce Dawn Dovray. And I'll just have Dawn stand up. But she's basically responsible for legislative activity, communications, really anything that public affair, any of our public affairs issues that involve the department. And I have Dawn standing because I want you to be sure, if you see her in the hallway, have any questions on the department. She's the gal that can get you to any of the division directors or programs that you may have questions on. She's basically coordinates all of our legislative activity. Good morning. And then I have done our two lawyers. I don't believe they're in the room. They're busy elsewhere, but I wanted to just let you know that Amber Mulder does all of our department legal work, and Aaron Arnold does the boards and commissions legal work. So if you have any questions on boards and commissions issues, both either Don or Aaron would be the people to contact, or me. You can always contact me directly, too. Administrative services, we have a pretty large secretariat program, and some of the people that I'm introducing now are part of that secretariat. First of all, Lyle Harder, Lyle, please stand, has been with the state for many years and handles all of our budget, finances. We are a very diverse department with a lot of different funding sources, and Lyle does a great job of keeping us on track and supervises all of our accountants and budgeting folks throughout the state. We also have Marsha Haltman, and I'm going to have Marsha come forward just and give you a little briefing about workforce services. It's part of the secretariat, but it really touches all of our labor programs, our workforce programs. She is not only the director of workforce services, but she's also our deputy secretary for the department. Marsha?
Thank you. Good morning, Mr.
Good
Chair,
morning.
Committee members. I am Marsha Haltman, and as Secretary Roberts mentioned, I'm the Division Director for Workforce Services. You may be familiar with the programs administered by Workforce Services in your local communities. For instance, we deliver through local providers the adult education and literacy programs that help adult learners over 18 with their workplace and foundational skills in math and English. Lots of times leading to the GED completion, and the GED testing is also done through our division. And then after that, we have the Workforce Investment Act, which works in that continuum of education. We help individuals who are eligible with assistance in tuition for technical schools and universities. You may also be familiar with a program in your local communities right now that we are working on, thanks to some funding one time last year from the legislature, and that is to offer the National Career Readiness Certificate to high school seniors across the state. We are currently in the process of assessing 2,000 high school seniors, and we're right on track, almost halfway done with that program. We have two staff members who deserve a Medal of Honor of some time who have been responsible solely for assessing all 2,000 of those kids. And another program that you may be aware of, I believe Secretary Roberts is going to share some workforce data, some economic indicators with you yet this morning. All of that type of information comes from our Labor Market Information Center in Aberdeen. And again, that is part of the division that I work with. We also have veterans programs, the work opportunity tax credit, alien labor certification, a whole host of programs within the division, all with the common goal of helping individuals have the skills that the workplace is looking for and demanding right now, and then helping to meet that need. So thank you, and I'll stand by later for any questions.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Marsha. Marsha rarely has an opportunity to, she has in the past done a lot of legislative work, but in this current position, most of her program is federally funded, and so a lot of what we do with those programs that she talked about is federally funded, so they also give a parameters. It's really not anything that we do through our legislative process. It's directed from the federal government and their grant requirements. So I thought it was important for her to talk, just because you as legislators live in communities that get a lot of those services, all of which are funded through the federal grants that Marsha and her staff administer. I wanted Mike Ryan, who is our Director of Employment Services, to stand. He is the manager of those local offices managers that work with you throughout South Dakota. We have, I believe, 18 local offices. Those managers in those local areas all report to Mike. He has about 200 people in his division. And hopefully all of you can, by name, name the local manager of your, they used to be called the job service offices. They're called the Department of Labor and Regulation local offices now, have been for several years. So Mike and his staff are on the ground in your communities providing services. Thank you, Mike. Unemployment insurance, Pauline Heyer, probably many in this room that have worked with the Division of Unemployment Insurance remember Don Katke, who was our director who retired. He still is helping us a little bit, but Pauline was groomed by Don and is our director now, has been for basically almost 2 years. But she has a bill this session. I'm going to have her come forward and tell you a little bit about UI and really start getting to know Pauline, because this committee works closely with unemployment insurance on many issues.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Pauline Heyer, and I'm the director of the Unemployment Insurance Division. The Unemployment Insurance Program is a program that's designed to provide temporary financial assistance to workers who have lost their jobs through no fault of their own while they're trying to seek new employment. Our program is funded entirely by employer contributions into the system, and what our mission is really to collect the contributions from employers to ensure we're promptly paying individuals who are entitled and eligible for those benefits. But we're also here to protect the integrity of the trust fund by ensuring that individuals who should be paid are being paid properly, and those that are not eligible for the program are being denied benefits. And this year we do have one bill that we'll be bringing forward that does address program integrity. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pauline. The next person I'd like to introduce is James Marsh, our Director of Labor and Management. And many of you in the room are familiar with James. We do not have any labor and management bills this session, but sometimes bills come, and then James will be speaking on those bills that other folks bring. But he actually basically has human rights, wage and hour, and workers' comp. He also supervises six of our attorneys that are judges in UI and workers' comp areas. He's a lawyer by trade and is an important member of our staff. So thank you, James. If you recall, 2 years ago, Governor Dugard added then the regulatory divisions to our department. And so I'd like to just introduce our Director of Securities, Mike Youngberg. And obviously, his responsibilities with securities are to register and file compliance and enforcement and investor education in the securities area. Thank you, Mike. And then Merle Scheiber, and I'm going to have Merle come forward because we have several bills that the Division of Insurance is going to be bringing to this committee, and I'm going to have Merle not only explain what the division does, but also introduce some of his staff that you'll be working with.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Mr. Chairman, committee members, thank you for having us here today. I'm a director of insurance for the Department of Labor and Regulation. I've been doing that for about 7.5 years now, and it's just been a blissful adventure. we do have seven agency bills that we're bringing forward this year. Three of them will start here in your committee. And basically, we're here to protect the consumers on the insurance market. Unless you live in a cave, you probably are touched by some type of insurance that we regulate. So you will see some of my staff here, and I'd like to introduce my staff, please. Josh Anderson, he's a legal counsel for the Division of Insurance. Larry Dieterman, he's the assistant director for the Property and Casualty.
Dieter,
excuse me. Dieter. I usually get it right. Sorry. Thank you, ma'am. Melissa Klayman, she's the assistant director for life and health. And many of you have also are familiar with Randy Moses. He's the deputy director for the Division of Insurance. So, yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Director Brett Aftal was here, but he had a bill in another committee that was being heard. It's first up, so he was prepared to give just like a couple minutes on the banking industry in South Dakota, if you would like. I think he'll be here before the end, and if you would like, he can come forward at that time.
That's fine. Yeah, okay. We can plug him in anywhere you'd like.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Secretary.
And then just we have a list of the boards and commissions that are attached to the department. They're basically the regulatory functions of state government, Abstractors Board, Board of Accountancy, barber examiners, cosmetology, electrical, plumbing, technical professions, which includes engineers and landscape architects and architects, and then also the real estate commission. And that's basically an overview. If you hope, you know, hopefully keep this as a cheat sheet, and you can contact any of us at any of these numbers at any time. The next handout that you had was basically just our local office map. I thought that was important so you could see where we have our, where we deliver services, and basically there are our workforce services statewide. And then if you, I have a little bit of just kind of workforce data that I was going to share with you in the next handout, but if you would like to ask any questions of anybody in the room, feel free, and if you don't mind, then I might let them be excused.
Oh, okay, very good. I certainly understand. Yes, any questions? Representative Konza.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for Ms. Holtman.
explain a little bit the foreign labor certification?
Yes, that's actually a program that we have entry dealings with. It's really handled by the federal government, and we're the gatherers of the information, and we actually submit those on to our federal counterparts. So we do the job orders in relationship to those foreign work orders, and we first have to help them determine whether or not there is labor available existing in the state, and they have to demonstrate that they have exhausted all efforts, and then we move that application on to our federal counterparts. So we really don't have the final say or the final word in those. We're part of the process.
Follow up?
No, thank you, Chair.
Any other questions? Madam Secretary, put them back to work.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, staff.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
I thought it might be kind of interesting, and we can go over this as quickly or as slowly as you folks would like, but I thought it might be interesting just to give you a little example of some of the statistics that we have and how we use them to do our work in the department. You can see from the first page of your handout that we have our labor force. And basically, our Labor Market Information Center that Marshall Haltman visited with you about earlier does surveys in a couple different areas. But to get the labor force information, they survey statewide. And they have found that we actually, in 2011, had 446,255 people in our workforce. And that would include not only those folks that are employed, of 425,000, but those that were unemployed of 20,000. Now, I wanted to clarify what that unemployed number is. 20,000 people are not getting an unemployment benefit check. If you recall when Pauline Heyer was talking, those that are getting a check are folks that have been laid off through no fault of their own, and then they have to be proving that they're actively seeking work, and they get a benefit check while they're working to find another job. The unemployed term here talks about anybody that is actively seeking work and not in a job in the last month in South Dakota. So you may be a college student that has graduated and are not in a job, but you're actively seeking. You would be counted in this number. I get questions a lot about the reservation folks and whether or not they are counted. If when we do our survey, somebody on the reservation has said, no, I'm looking for a job and I've actively been looking the last month, they would be counted. If they have not seeked a job in the last month, they would not be counted. So lots of times when we survey on the reservations, they haven't been seeking because they're discouraged. They're called discouraged workers. They're not in the labor force numbers that we're talking about here. These are all mandated. These definitions and the way we do our surveys is mandated through the federal government because of the federal U.S. Department of Labor, because the Bureau of Labor Statistics, because they pay for this work, and then they also collect our information, and is used on the national level when you hear about the national statistics coming out. I added the unemployment rate. It is a different survey, and it's come up, it's calculated a little differently, but the rate for 2011 average rate was 4.7%. I believe it's 4.4% right now last month, and we monitor that. But basically, for the last 18 months, it's hovered around that 4.5%. It's less than what we've had historically. You can see that our 20-year average was 3.5%, but we believe it's a new era, and it'll be difficult to ever get down to that 3.5% just because we have some folks that are really lacking basic skills, and it's difficult for them to get into the workforce even though they'd like to be. So you can see the department is spending a lot of our time and services on those folks trying to get into the workforce. I wanted to then talk about the number of jobs. And back up above, you can see that we're projecting that we're going to grow at about a rate of about 1.5% in our workforce, in our labor force. Those are people that are either working or actively seeking over the next 9 years. Then look down at the next set of data, and you can see that the number of jobs in South Dakota actual for 2011 was 467,000. Now, The 20,000 that is the difference between the number in the labor force and the number of jobs, those folks probably have two jobs, and that's what's going on there, because the top number is actual number of jobs that are filled right now, and the labor force are the number of workers. So about 20,000 are probably have two jobs. You can see our projections in for 2020 is that the jobs in South Dakota, because our economy is so good and our businesses are doing very well and wanting to expand, we're projecting that they're going to expand by about a 7.9% growth rate for 2020. And ergo, the issues that we see coming down the pike for our department and for you folks and policymakers statewide is that we're going to start falling even further behind in the number of people to fill those jobs. We're projecting in 2020 that number will grow to 51,000. And obviously, we don't know if we have enough people that will want to work two times or we'll have to get into the workforce. I'll go then next to a couple things, and then I'll talk about some of the goals that we have to meet some of these demands. Our core workforce is a whole nother set of data. And what it is basically anybody in South Dakota that's 16 to 65, and there are actually 519,000 folks there were in 2011. Compare that to the labor force, and you see we have about 73,000 that could potentially be in the labor force but are not. And we're projecting that those numbers will stay pretty steady through 2020. But we feel in the Department of Labor and with the Dugard administration, some of his WINS programs, his workforce programs that we implemented last year, really go to talk to a little bit about our core workforce. We would like to get more people into our workforce, not only through, as I said, those unemployed, trying to get them basic skills so they can get a job. We're reaching out also to older workers. We have a senior program that we administer in the Department of Labor and Regulation, and perhaps there are people that are retired that if we work with our business community and use some different types of techniques, maybe we could get them back into the workforce if businesses are willing to adjust hours or work around some of the requirements of retired. We also have a federal grant that we're working on with our disabled communities. We're working closely with Black Hills Special Services and also the Department of Human Services on that grant to try and get, folks with special needs into the workforce. What that does is bridge employers with the services that are available and employees that would like to work if they have the right accommodation. So those are basically some of the things that we're working on to increase our labor force through going out to the core workforce, people that aren't actively seeking work but possibly would be willing to work in the future. You can see from that last number, it just puts it all together, that we're actually in the coming years, we're going to have, back to the first slide, we're really going to have about 50,000 more jobs than workers with that second slide. And so we have a lot of work to do. And that's basically what I wanted to talk about in this presentation. Again, our goals are to get more eligible workers from our core workforce into jobs, which I think I've discussed. Number two, improve the skills of the unemployed and get them employed, which I've discussed. And then number three, recruit more people to our labor force. And Governor Dugard helped start working on that last year when he implemented the New Dakotans program, which tries to help recruit people from out of state into South Dakota. And then our department is administering the Dakota Roots program, which I hope you've all talked about, which reaches out to folks that have a root in South Dakota and try to entice them back. That program, we got some seed money last year from the legislature of $100,000, and we've increased our applications to the state by 63%. So we feel like that was a really big bang for the buck. You can see our DLR job opening snapshot. We, in 2008, had about 9,800 folks looking for work in December of it's the other way around. We had 9,800 jobs open that businesses were trying to fill in 2008. You can see in 2009 that dropped to 5,500. But we're back up now in December of this year to 9,300. We think that shows a little bit of where we are with the recession, that the economy is bouncing back and employers are hiring. And we continue to hear that statewide, that they would like to do more hiring if they can just find the right people to fill those jobs. We in the department are targeting several occupations when we pay for training for folks that touch our system. And the 10 jobs listed here are really high demand and high wage jobs. The top five really you need a technical school training for, and the bottom five are more for the baccalaureate level. But if you have anybody, any child or young person that's looking to get into a career, we would recommend these 10 occupations. There's always going to be a job for you in South Dakota, and the wages are going to be above average. You can see there's a few declining occupations that I listed. And then my last slide just basically talks about our industry sectors and where you can see some growth and where we're projecting growth, as well as those that are declining. And I'm here, and I can answer any questions. And thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate your attention.
Thank you, Secretary. Oh.
Oh, yeah, and then
folks are here.
Right. If there's no questions, then I will introduce Brett.
But. Were there any questions? We'll start over with Representative Kirschman.
How many, Mr. Chairman, how many retire every year from the workforce? Do you keep a track of that?
I probably could get that number. But when you look at our demographic information, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, is it okay to answer?
You have the floor.
Okay, thank you. When you look at our demographic information, there are more people retiring than are being born in South Dakota every year. So, you know, that also aggravates our problem that there is really a big bubble of baby boomers that are, you know, I'm part of that bubble that are getting ready to retire in the next several years. And we're starting to see that not only across the state with employers, but it's actually impacting state government.
Representative Parsley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Madam Secretary, good to see you today. Thanks for this information. This is very helpful. One of the things that some of us are looking at is the potential of making it a little easier for military folks to enter the workforce who have had specialized training in the military that today we may not recognize. And I guess I'd be kind of interested in the department's, I mean, I know you don't have any more, much more information than that, but 14 states have done this, and there's another 8 that are looking at it, so they would be competitors with us for our folks returning from the military.
Right.
Is the department, have you thought about this, talked about this?
We have, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Thank you for the question. That is a very good question. And if you recall during the Governor Dugard's State of the State address, I believe he touched on this a little bit, but he is bringing a governor's bill that would require our boards and commissions statewide, our licensing boards and commissions, to try and expedite those licensees to come into South Dakota, get relicensed and work. So be on the lookout. The department, we've been involved with a work group in the governor's office to provide input, and we like the bill that's coming. We will fully comply with it when it passes.
Follow up, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this idea that I'm talking about would even go a little bit further than that. This would be folks who maybe were trained as electricians or corpsmen in the military who today have to come out and maybe go back to low-tech school, do the four-year apprenticeship, when they've already had a lot of training because we may or may not recognize what they have for training. The idea would be to see, at least look at the training they've had, compare that to our criteria, and maybe give them some credit for time and service that they've had.
Yep, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I really wish I would have brought our Electrical Commission Executive Director here because he has experience in this very area, and we are doing all we can to get them credit in those areas. And, you know, if you have any suggestions, we can work together to try and make it better. But I know that we do everything we can to try and, you know, to get your apprenticeship or your license, your journeyman license. You have to have so many hours, and I know that we're going in and actively allowing a lot of that. That's in the military. But if you would like, I could have him run you down and talk to you. I will do that. His name is J.J. Lynn, and I'll have him come talk to you.
That would be fine. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Good. Yes, Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Madam Secretary.
Good morning.
Question for you along the vein of Representative Parsley's questions. How are we reaching out to our current military members as far as the Dakota roots, and are we What type of things are we doing to try to reach out to that military community? Because they've got such valuable assets that we'd love to see here in South Dakota.
Right. Thank you.
Please.
Mr. Chairman, we actually do a lot for veterans. We have staff statewide, and it's part of the U.S. Department of Labor Services that they fund. But we actually have folks in many of our local offices that are required to only work on veterans. And so we provide intensive case management to any veteran that touches our system. And they would not only be, not only through Dakota Roots, but through all of our programs. We feel really good. And basically most of the staff that are in those positions are returning vets. We also work closely with the Department of Veterans Affairs. But basically any veteran that touches our system is required to receive any set of, we call it gold ticket services, and we've been over backwards to work with them and get them anything they need to get into the workforce in South Dakota.
Please.
Madam Secretary, can you give us kind of an idea of how you get that information out to other people in other states and how we're getting that information out to, say, the military personnel?
Right. Mr. Chairman, basically this program is funded throughout the nation. So not only in South Dakota, there's these veteran services rep. Actually, they're called DVERs and LVERs. I don't know if you've heard about them, but they're specifically located in local offices to provide these services. That's something that the U.S. Department of Labor does nationwide. So those veterans, as they leave, are notified of those services and can access them wherever they land. We also we also have, over the course of the many years, we have provided TAP at Ellsworth Air Force Base. My veteran service officers they're not veteran service officers, they're my veteran staff in Rapid City have always provided that service over the many years. It recently was contracted out, and it's going to be a general contractor nationwide that'll be in there, but we'll continue to go out and work with folks at Ellsworth that are getting ready to leave or work with their spouses, whatever needs to be done. You're welcome.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, please.
I have a question.
Okay.
Secretary Roberts, you had mentioned that currently the unemployment rate in South Dakota is 4.7, the average is 3.5, and you felt there was a new normal.
Yeah.
What's the new normal?
Consider the new normal.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mr. Chairman?
Please.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Basically, the 4.7 was the average rate for 2011. So for 2012, our rate has gone down, and so it's hovering around the 4.4%. As I talk to my manager statewide and just, talk to businesses and things, we're thinking that back in the day when we had, the 3.5s and lower, it's going to be more difficult to get down there. We're thinking 4% might be, and really closer to like full employment in South Dakota. And the reason for that is basically because we do have a whole new sector of citizens in South Dakota who really have a difficult time with basic skills. We have a lot of folks coming in from other countries that through our LLS program that don't even speak English. And so getting them from another country and in to South Dakota into the workforce is going to be kind of a long-term issue. So they might want a job, but we're going to have to provide them not only with language skills, but work skills. A lot of them don't even understand what work is from the country they've come from. They've maybe been mothers at home with children and never been in a work environment. So just basic skills like answering the phone, getting to work on time, those kinds of things continue to be an issue. So, and honestly, another area of concern is folks that have substance abuse problems. That has increased. We've noticed that throughout the state, and getting those folks into the workforce, as you can understand, is a big problem.
Do you have a follow-up?
Yes, I do. A clarification for myself. When you calculate these numbers, the self-employed or the business, business owner or that sort of thing, are they considered part of the workforce? Are they considered employed?
Yeah. They would be part of the labor force, and they would be as self-employed. They would be counted as having a job. Right. Thank you.
Any other question? Representative Browns?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Madam Secretary, good to be back and good to see you again. If I may have one short comment before I proceed on the question. Several years back, when I first started in this committee, I worked a lot with the Department of Labor, and I'm seeing so many familiar faces that have been here for a while. It shows me that there's a lot of experience and continuity in your office, and that can only be a positive for the state of South Dakota. I also think the Knight building is built over the Fountain of Youth, because folks haven't changed much.
Oh, boy.
What would you like now?
Thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. Chair, on page two, more potential workers and jobs. I hear a lot of comments from people saying, well, yeah, we have more jobs than workers, but these are just entry level. Could you explain the type of jobs, maybe a breakdown that I think from the years that the experience I've got, a lot of these are professional type jobs that are out there that we're looking to fill. If you can expand on that, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative Rounds, for your comments. And also, I'd like to answer that question. We do have, through our workforce services, we have very good jobs listed on our website. So anybody that's on the listening audience, if you are looking for a job, even up to, you know, not only master's but doctorate programs, we have a lot of very high-paid jobs on that in our employment services docket, and so we can help anybody find a job through those services. When you look at that last page of the handout, I think that kind of gets to where you're coming from at this point. And you can basically see the total industries in South Dakota, and you can see basically where a lot of our workers are. Education and health services is the largest number that I see on this sheet, and that would be all of our health system and all of our, you know, our schools in South Dakota. That is a big number. When you think about healthcare and education, most of them have degrees and higher, and so that bodes well for South Dakota that that sector is big and growing. If you can see, we see 11% potential growth there is what we're projecting. We'll need 11,000 more workers with degrees and higher. What else? You can see the natural resources and mining is 34,000 folks. We see that as a declining industry. That may be more blue collar. So that actually speaks to your point also. Anything else? Oh, leisure and hospitality. We actually, a lot of service jobs, and we have a large service sector in South Dakota, and that would basically be entry level, and that continues to grow. So there's a little bit of the lower level jobs too that are available. So I mean, we have jobs available in every sector at every level.
Thank you. Yes. Representative Westra.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for speaking to us today, Madam Secretary. And I just have a question in regards to some of these projections that you're showing us. Is your department looking at all with regards to how the Health Care Reform Act here in 2014, what impact that could have on these numbers going forward, and are you looking at anything for that?
That is a very good question, and one I can't answer off the top of my head. Affordable Care Act has been modeled in there. I mean, speak to it if you would. Are you thinking that we're going to be losing healthcare jobs, gaining? Because I think your guess is as good as ours. Yeah.
Just is what kind of impact that they have on these projections going forward. And if employers are looking at their numbers presently and still uncertain because they really don't understand the impact that may have.
You know, a lot of what we would model on is what, you know, when it happens and talking to businesses about what their projections are and what their growth plans are. We haven't really gotten anything from the healthcare industry that's telling us, you know, hey, we're putting the skids to hiring or we're not going to need this many workers in the future. So at this time, we really don't have anything to answer, I don't believe, but I will make sure that our Labor Market Information Center isn't getting information from the feds. They might be getting some information from the feds on how to model the Affordable Care Act, and I will find that out for you.
Thank you.
Do you have a follow-up?
No.
Okay. Representative Parsley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Madam Secretary, just to kind of follow on to that just a little bit, I would think that the modeling might look something, you know, the governor right now in his budget doesn't have expansion of Medicaid this year, but has talked about it potentially next year. If we bring another $200 million in and if another approximately 48,000 people into the healthcare system, I'm curious as is the representative, whether these numbers reflect that or not, particularly in that area, because that could have a major impact in our in that industry, I would think.
That projection is not made because it's not part of the request, and it's not part of the plan at this point, so that would not be factored in. Although, on the other side of the coin, a lot of those folks probably are getting health services, maybe not to the extent that they would if they were covered through the Affordable Care Act, but you know, they're out there accessing services in some way probably right now too.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Other questions? The chair has a question, and maybe you can just help walk through this. I know your department, because of the whole concept of workforce, I would think has to work very closely with the Governor's Office of Economic Development and also through Department of Education to make sure that we have a trained workforce. And, you know, with the numbers of, you know, the unemployment rate being down there in that 3-4%, I think at the envy of many, many other places throughout the nation. What's your role in the whole concept of attracting business to South Dakota and making sure that they have an adequate workforce to operate their business?
Thank you for the question, Mr. Chair. That's a very good one. And if you work on an economic development board in most of the locations in South Dakota, my department, my office managers in those locations are typically at the table when they're working on a recruitment. So, for instance, and I don't know if you've met Lisa Johnson, our new manager. Sue Bogan recently retired and moved to Wisconsin.
I met Lisa.
Okay.
And Sue was just a dreadful loss for our community.
She was a big loss. Her kids live in Madison, Wisconsin, and she actually moved to Madison and is working for the Department of Labor there, so our loss, their gain. But
yes.
Sue provided really good services to the community of Watertown over many years as our local manager. But you lucked out and got somebody with a lot of experience that was our local office manager in Spearfish.
Oh, good.
Her husband became a principal in Watertown, and so she moved, and when that job came open, then she's our new manager. And so she has a wealth of experience, has been at the table with economic development groups in Spearfish, so she's going to step right in and do a really good job for you in Watertown. But just to continue with that example of Watertown, they would be at the table with Jeff and your GOED folks when they're looking to either recruit a business to Watertown or expand a business in Watertown. They're helping to provide workforce information. They're helping to fill the jobs that come open. We have a very close working relationship, and especially at the local level, where those GOED staff count on my staff to assist them and provide any kind of a resource or service that's necessary for the business. So we feel really good about that. I also have business outreach folks in most of those local offices that go out and work with businesses. So we're really, closely on the ground when there's an expansion that might be coming. And we actually would contact GOED then in that situation and let that local person know that, hey, they're talking about hiring, and get the information then back to the GOED. So I feel really good about how we work. From the state level, I'm involved in all of the statewide activities that the governor has when we're hosting out-of-state folks. I am there as a resource on workforce services so I can provide that. And then basically when we have an out-of-state company or even a local company looking to expand that needs our resources, then I can get the information and get it to my local folk to actually deliver those services.
Good. Awesome.
And then you also talked to Mr. Chair about the educational system.
Certainly.
Work closely with them, not only with the cabinet secretaries, board of regents, secretary Melody Schaap, but also work closely with the technical school presidents. My staff works with them probably on a daily basis. We provide a lot of funding through grants to those institutes, and then they provide us information. We actually place students there that we're paying tuition for, and we really feel good about our working relationship statewide.
Sure.
With those four technical schools.
Good. And you know, speaking on my own behalf, my other hat is with Lake Area Tech in Watertown, and I have to a subject that both Representative Parsley and Representative Nelson had touched on as far as outreach to those veterans, and I'm not going to say names or anything, but I currently, or just most recently, had the opportunity to look at this particular veteran's transcripts, and we were quite in a quandary whether we should enroll him or hire him as an instructor. And so we are, at least on the educational side, looking at military records and making sure that credit is given where credit's due. And I know we have a representative from labor on our campus working, and we make weekly contacts with her, and it's just awesome to see how this whole mechanism works, and it's kind of fun. It really is. So I appreciate that.
Thank you. And maybe I'll just add on a little bit. We not only have outreach services, our vets folks that I already explained not only go to the technical schools, we also do that for the Board of Regents. So we have outreach. We actually go to the placement office and work with any veteran that is at the campus level here in South Dakota, too.
Sure. And we appreciate that. Anything else? Any other questions by the committee? Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Hi, Madam Secretary. I may have missed this because I couldn't be here. Do you have an age breakdown? You know, when we talk about 48,000 more people on Medicaid or Medicare, and what this is like a gentle subject, that many coming on, but how many that won't be around? Do you know how many that will be gone, deceased? I mean, is there a balance there? And do you have a breakdown of the age categories and what the median age is and, you know, what...
For Medicaid recipient?
For all ages in the state that kind of coincide with what the workforce can receive.
Mr. Chairman?
Secretary?
Okay, specific to Medicaid, I don't have any of those numbers, but I'm sure the Department of Social Services would have them. But for demographic information, that's not what the department does. We have, we work with the Census Bureau and that information. So we use that information to model our numbers. And yes, when we're modeling for projections, if there's retirees and those age group brackets in professions, that our projections do model that demographic information that you asked about.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? None? Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Thank you, Secretary Roberts.
And if you are not tired of us, I'll just introduce Brett. Otherwise,
please.
Okay.
Please. Tired of you? How could we? Come on up.
Brett Aftal is our Director of Banking, and I thought I'd have him just give a quick overview of the banking industry, just a couple minutes.
Very good.
Thank you, Brett.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Brett Aftal, I'm the Director of the Division of Banking. I'll just give you a quick overview of kind of our three main business lines and kind of where we're at. Currently, we have 58 state chartered banks in South Dakota with 19 plus billion dollars in assets in the form of loans and securities. We lost three banks last year to consolidation, so we had 61 banks at the end of 2011. We currently have 58. I'm aware of one other one that is going to be merged up into another bank in the coming quarter. So it's kind of an ongoing trend. It's not unique to South Dakota. There's several different factors at play: demographics, business costs, regulatory costs, efficiencies, things like that. But at the same time, the number of locations we have for our state charter banks has increased over the long period. So now, right now, we have 237 total locations in South Dakota. Overall, the condition of our banks is strong. Right now, we have about 10% of our banks that are in what we call a problem bank category, where there is some enhanced supervision required for various reasons. And just to put that into context, at the end of 2010, that number was 30%. So we were impacted by the economic downturn, certainly not to the extent either in number or severity as some of the other states, but we were impacted. It impacts our examination cycle. So instead of going into a small bank every 3 years, we go in every year jointly with the FDIC or the Federal Reserve. So it essentially tripled our workload for about a four-year period, and we're coming out of that period right now, but we come out of it a lot slower than we get into it, and we are kind of a tailing indicator. we see the problems a little bit later than the immediate economy when those loans go bad, and then it takes a lot longer to work those out. And it just takes a couple examination cycles to see that. In the banking area in particular, we're looking at the ongoing drought and what impact that'll have. Crop insurance program was continued for another year. They did put a Band-Aid on that. That'll carry us through September of this year. That's not what we had hoped to see. We were hoping for a 5 or 7 year plan so our producers will know what they can do in the coming years. But that's something Congress is going to have to sort out in the coming year. In addition to that, there's a lot of regulatory changes underway. I'm sure you've heard, kind of the catchword regulatory burden and cost, and there's some truth to that. There's quite a few rules that'll be coming final this year from the federal regulators. And I guess our role in that is we've, through our accrediting body, help kind of soften the blow on those regulations to the extent we can. But once they become final, then we do the best we can to provide guidance to our banks to help them through find their way through that. It is kind of a maze. Every federal rule that's been issued, they say a rule. I mean, they're all 200-plus pages long. So just to put it in context for you, and there's been 144 of those issued so far as a result of Dodd-Frank. Our next business line is trust companies. We currently have 65 trust companies chartered in South Dakota. And just for a little trend, at the end of 2011, we had 58, so we added 7 trust companies last year. So it's kind of the opposite trend of our banks. And at the end of 2011, they had $104 billion in assets under management, administration, or custody. So it's pretty big business in our state. We don't have 2012 asset numbers in. We will sometime in February. But, I mean, my only guess is that it'll be higher than $104 billion. I don't know how much, though. The overall condition of the trust companies are good. We have about 14% of those that are in that problem category, but considering the number of those companies that are new in the last 5 to 10 years, that's pretty manageable, and the severity of those problems are not great. They'll be able to work through those. And then our final business line is our licensees. We license and regulate mortgage lenders, mortgage brokers, mortgage loan originators that do not work for banks. We have money lenders, anywhere from the local payday shop to Honda Motor Credit and everybody in between. And then we also have money transmitters. Western Union, MoneyGram have delegates in the state at Walmart or the local grocery store that carry out their business. So we do all of that with 23 FTE, so we stay pretty busy.
You do that all in 40 hours a week?
Sure.
Okay, good answer. Good, thank you. Any questions of the banking folks?
Sure.
None? Yes, please, Representative Parsley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Hoftall. I did hear this before in the State Affairs this morning, and it helps to hear it twice when you're trying to drink from a fire hose. It's always more helpful to have a little break in between. The question was asked this morning, and I would like to ask it again, maybe in a little different way, about the trust companies in South Dakota. There's $104 billion in assets that they're managing. Is there other, I mean, certainly that provides work and employment opportunities for folks managing trust funds, for us from a state perspective to provide oversight on those trust funds. And as you said this morning, they pay for that service. Do we have anything in the trust funds that would resemble a bank franchise tax or anything like that that brings additional revenue into the state for us housing those trust funds here?
Mr. Chairman, yes, we do, Representative Parsley. Each of our trust companies is required. It's tiered in over 5 years, but once they've been in operation for 5 years or longer, they pay a minimum of $25,000 a year in bank franchise tax. And then if their income is such that they would owe more than that, I mean, that's the minimum. So they would follow the same structure as our banks do, so they would pay 6% on that net income of anything over that minimum amount.
Good. Follow up? Anything else? Seeing none, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, I just want to introduce Brock Jensen as legal counsel for the division. He's helping me lobby a couple bills. We do have two bills, as Representative Parsley indicated. They're both in state affairs this year, one on a derivatives issue, which is always fun to talk about at 8 in the morning, and then also our annual trust task force bill.
Good. Welcome. Anybody with the name of Brock has to be a pretty good guy. Solid was the word, Representative Greenfield? Solid. Okay. Appreciate it. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. We do appreciate it. In closing, Secretary, I think we're going to have a couple of your guys probably up here Friday, maybe to do some work. And so, yeah, break them free, kick them out of the coffee room, and we'll start promptly at 10. So, okay, appreciate it. Anything else for the good of the cause? Any questions? And I would entertain a motion for adjournment. Thank you, Representative Rounds. A second by Representative Nelson. All in favor of adjournment will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned.